All right, Christian characteristics. We're on our part four here, James chapter 3. I'm sure you know the book of James quite well. It's a phenomenal little book. Boy, I always think of James as a little firecracker. It's small in size, but boy, it packs a punch, doesn't it? Book of James, it'll tear you up. But I love the way that James writes and how he puts it so plain, so clear, really blunt. I appreciate the way he writes very much. James chapter 3, we're going to look at this. And look tonight at really a challenge for most of us, I know for me especially, but power over the tongue. What does the Bible have to say about this? This is a great characteristic for all of us. We know we should have as a child of God. Now notice verse number 1 and what James says. He talks extensively about this, especially in chapter 3, but he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set something or rather for every on fire of hell." Yeah. Okay. "For every kind of beast and of birds and serpents of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Okay. We'll pause there in our reading. But truly, clearly, notice tonight that we find the tongue can be very powerful. It can be very helpful, but it can also be very destructive. Okay. Now, in chapters 1 and 2 of James, two major characteristics of a mature Christian are given. Well, first, he's a patient man, or he's patient in trouble. It says there, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." And he practices the truth. And for it goes on to say, he's a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Now, we come to a third characteristic of a mature believer, and that is that he or she has power over his tongue. Now, words are very important. In chapter 1, we were warned to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and told that if we do not bridle our tongues, we nullify our religious efforts. "If any man among you seem to be religious," he says, "and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So our efforts to win people to Christ are in vain if we don't guard our tongues. We know that. The power of speech is one of the greatest powers God has given us. The ability to speak words is the ability to influence others for good or for bad. Now, with the tongue, we can praise God, we can pray, we can preach the word, lead the lost to Christ, and enjoy sweet fellowship with each other. Notice Proverbs 16:23 there in your notes. It says, "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones." So good. I love the book of Proverbs because it spells it out for us so clearly. Again, Proverbs 18:4, "The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook." Boy, they can be deep, but they can be piercing too, right? Where are we at? Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." That is, apples of gold in a picture would be like a bowl, a basin, some kind of decorative bowl. That's what it means. You see it and you go, "Man, that's beautiful. That's perfect timing." And have you ever had somebody ever tell you something right at the perfect time, especially when you were dating? Remember? Well, he said, just the perfect thing. And you could do no wrong. And look at us now. That's where it is. Those words. Okay. Now, in our text here, six pictures of the tongue are given to impress upon us the importance of controlled speech and the great consequences of our words. Now, notice the first are the bit, the rudder, the fire, a poisonous animal, a fountain, and a fig tree. These combine to show us three powers of the tongue. Now, remember, numbers in the Bible, very important, and these six are important. Six is number of man. And it's very interesting to study it. Now, if you try to memorize your Bible, which I hope you try to do that from time to time, the Bible, especially our King James Bible, is the translators were very specific in certain things and the way they did things, and they were very careful how they translated things. But they kept things like this, numbers. You think about number. Okay, six. There's six things. That's how I can remember it. That's how I can memorize it. So on and so forth. But these six things that we can see tonight, I want you to notice with me, very interesting to study because he makes it clear for us. One, it has the power to direct. Now remember, he uses these two, the bit and the rudder. Those of you that have a horse or you have livestock or something like that or goats, you know that. You put that bit in the horse's mouth and what's it do? It hates that bit. I don't want that in my mouth. They try all they can. They fight it. Now an older horse or whatever the case would be, they get used to it. But that bit put in the mouth, they hate it. They try all they can to get it out of their mouth, as would we too if it was put in our mouth. Okay, so verse 1 begins with a warning about the power of the tongue used in teaching. Now, he uses the word master here, and that's a teacher. Now, teachers are held to a higher standard. Teachers will have much more accountability to God, i.e. like a pastor or Sunday school teacher, a professor or something maybe of that nature. But especially a pastor. Now, as a teacher, teachers have influence and authority to direct people. Because of this, they will be judged more severely. We find that in Scripture. Verse 2 shows that the tongue makes it a true measure of maturity. We can control the whole body if we can control the tongue. Very interesting how to study that. So first, letter A, notice the bit and rudder are small but have great power. Notice verse 3 again. Thank you. He says there, behold, we put in the bits in the horse's mouths that they may obey it, so we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven fierce winds. They have turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. So you know how that works. Something so small can direct or move something very big. The tongue has so much power, he says, it's of great power. Letter B, though, the bit and rudder have to overcome contrary forces. The tongue must overcome pride on the inside and circumstances on the outside. Now, you folks know this, being around your mother-in-law and father-in-law or somebody, your tongue gets really sore from biting it. You know, you just bite your tongue, bite it, bite my tongue. And sometimes it don't always stay there, and you say something you shouldn't say or whatever the case is. But we see it has to overcome many forces on the inside, like that of pride, pushes against us to say and speak our mind. Again, the world pushes this on us from the age of 3 and 4 years old. You go into preschool and you go all the way through, all the way up to college, if you stay in the secular school system. And what is it? It's always what? Stand up for yourself. Speak your mind. Go with your gut feeling. Let your heart be your guide. Those are all the things that they say to us. Those are good things for people to have self-confidence and really try to not let the world take advantage of them and treat them like a doormat. By the way, the Bible never says that we're to just be treated like a doormat. Turn the other cheek, brother. You got to understand the context of that. Some people are just let anybody mistreat them. They never say anything. They never speak up. We got to be careful about that, okay? But something small can have great power, something large. Letter C under this. The bit and the rudder must be under the control of a strong hand. Jesus Christ must be allowed to control our tongues. Now, some of you are much more knowledgeable about this stuff, but when you have a horse or whatever the case is, if you don't have it, you don't have hold of those reins or whatever the case, boy, it can get out of control quick. Have you ever tried to use one of those engines on the back of a little tin boat or, you know, metal boat? You use one of those type of doohickeys. If you get careful, get out of hand, it can be very dangerous. So we know that. Must be under the control of a strong hand. Jesus must be allowed to control our tongue. Jesus must be the one directing us. And then letter D, the bit and the rudder. They have great power to direct. They affect the lives of other people. We know that. Well, a runaway horse or a shipwreck, a ship that's gone off course, it could mean injury or death, a lot of death. You've seen some of those things on TV and other places where maybe at a circus or something, an elephant gets loose. I mean, we saw one of them, they had to shoot the thing because it was out of control and it was killing people. I mean, it was literally stomping on people and so on and so forth. So we have to be very careful about that. We must be careful. I love the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, but he talks about this. He says, be careful not to swerve from the doctrine you've been taught. That word swerve means to go around. And then he uses another S word later on, and he says, some people have gotten shipwrecked. So when we swerve and we don't stay on course, what happens? We get shipwrecked. We run up onto that shore and we'll ruin that boat, obviously. So we got to be careful about that. That number two under there, the words we speak affect the lives of others. We know that. Proverbs 18:21 very clearly says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, we know that. A judge may say guilty, a judge may say not guilty, and affect a prisoner's destiny and really his life, we know. The president says a few words and maybe signs a few papers, and we could be in World War III, right? I mean, there's a lot of power. There's a lot of things. Letter C, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to a woman at a well, changed her life forever. That's just one example of the power of the tongue. Changed her life forever. He spoke to her, talked to her. She went back home and said, boy, come here a man who knew all that I ever did. D, Simon Peter, he preached at Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved. You heard the story of Edward Kimball went into a shoe store and led D.L. Moody to Christ. That was interesting. We talked a little bit. It was in our Bible Institute. And he was just a shoe salesman, nobody. Nobody ever knew who he was. But he was faithful to share the gospel. And he reached D.L. Moody as a young boy. And again, never think that your service for Christ is of naught. It is very important. But the power of a tongue. Okay, let's look at number two then, the second example. It has power to destroy. For, notice verse 5, if you will, in your text. It's like fire and a wild animal. Yes, even so the tongue, a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. He says next, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And so is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature and set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, of things in the seas tamed, hath man tamed of mankind. So anyways, like fire, wild animal. Now the tongue is not only powerful, it is also perverse and can be. It is small, influential, but worse by far, it can be satanic and infectious. Letter A, it is a fire, says a world of iniquity. Again, Proverbs 26 and verse 20. He reminds us of this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. He says, you're not feeding the fire. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So you're feeding it, right? You're throwing fuel on the fire. And as I said last week, you know, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Sometimes that's the best remedy. You don't throw coals onto hot coals where it's going to, you know, the process. If it defiles the whole body, notice. Defiles the whole body. Number two, it sets on fire the course of nature. Now think of the evil report of the 10 spies, how it changed the course of the lives of millions of people. He says there in Numbers 13:32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. And they said this, the land, although which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof and of the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Is there more to that? Great stature. Oh, and there we saw the giants. Yeah, thank you. And the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we notice in our own side as grasshoppers. And so we are in their sight. Now remember that. When we see how we perceive ourselves, we got to be careful. That may not be how God perceives us. God gives you a great task or something to do. And we say, okay, but Lord, you know I can't do that. I don't speak well. I mean, I'm not good at that. But you know the Lord laid it on your heart. You got to trust the Lord. It's like, hey, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to look like a fool. And Lord says, I know. I created you. I know. I love that quote. God took into account your stupidity when he called you. Okay, that's for me. He took it. Did you, Lord, are you sure? Are you sure you got the right guy? I know. The evil report, what'd they do? Boy, they discouraged everybody except two men stood up and said, hey, no, don't listen to them. We can take it. We can do it. All that God's already done, how he defeated all these cities for us and armed, we can do it. We know who God is. And the rest said, no. And they discouraged the people's heart. And they got frustrated. What happened? They ended up wandering in the wilderness. Thirdly, it is set on fire of hell. Very, very powerful words. All the malice and mischief of the tongue is encouraged and used by Satan for his evil purposes. By the way, you can usually tell somebody by the way they talk, right? The language they use, stuff like that. Very vile. It's very perverse. It's very forward. It's very caustic. It's very vulgar, if you will. They use the language of the world. And by the way, you could tell there are several instances in the Bible when people would speak and they go, oh, you're part of, oh, you're a, and they knew who they were by the accent or by what they said, how they say it. Now, we got to be careful. You can tell someone who's of the world by the way they talk and what they say by way of the world. Anyways, we know that. Let's see, letter B, it's wild and untamable. Verse 7 there, we see here, do we have verse 7? Thank you. For every kind of beast, of birds, serpents, things in the sea, it's tamed, hath been tamed of mankind. Then he goes on, tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so, notice, a man can have dominion over the full realm of nature. A man, though, cannot tame his tongue, without God's help. We know it's wild. We've got to have God's help. We've got to have his help. One of the things is, and I noticed that, you know, people can clean themselves up pretty well once they get saved and come to church and stuff, and they can really pull themselves together. What's one of the hardest things or the last things to go? It's that tongue, isn't it? And the way you talk and what you say, oh, and all of that. And I know that to be true for myself. It's wild, untamable. But also notice it's an unruly evil, as he mentioned. It's unsteady. It's staggering. It's reeling like the unstable man. Even the two gates to guard it, it still gets loose. Meaning you've got teeth and you've got lips that guard that tongue. I knew a lady just recently, she had broken her jaw, and so she had her mouth wired shut. And as she talked, you know, she could, but you couldn't, what did you say? And then obviously people mumble, you know, don't really move their lips very much. You got two guards there trying to guard that tongue, and still, man, it gets loose, doesn't it? It just gets wild loose, can't control it, and everything else. And you think about it, it is an unruly evil. And if you've ever been afflicted by a tongue, you've ever been hurt by one, you know what it means. You know what it is. Okay, it's full of deadly poison, though. I like this. I found this. For every word in Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. For every word. Now, he was influenced, as you know this, by the writings of Karl Marx and others. But you think about that. He wrote that book. If you've ever tried to read it, I actually have a copy of it I found at a thrift store. You try to read it, they translate it obviously into English. It is the hardest thing. It doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's just weird. He's talking in these redundant circles, and it's just weird how you don't even know what he's talking about. And they've taken just snippets of it and used it, you know, in his propaganda and stuff. But it really didn't make sense. You could tell he was not a very smart or intelligent or even sane individual. But it's full of deadly poison. Notice that. The power that it possesses. Okay, so it has the power to destroy. It is very powerful. Thirdly, though, it has the power to delight. And I like this one. It's like a fountain and a tree. Verse 9, if we have. Verse 9, yes, therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh water. So again, you talk about a fountain, if you see a bubbling up out of the ground, it will not bring forth on Monday sweet water and then on Tuesday bitter water. It just doesn't happen. You go out to search a tree and you find a tree, cherry tree or whatever the case is. Well, you're not expecting to pull an orange off of that thing, right? You know what it's going to produce. And so many people say that today. You cannot find bitter from a sweet fountain. Now, as proof is of this, he goes through and talks about how it's consistent and how it's inconsistent. Notice, though, 1 Peter 3, verse 10, he says, again, Peter speaking, for he that will love life, he that will love life, yes, and see good days. Well, I want to love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Now, that's exactly what we should do. Very, very easy formula. And you say, well, easy to say, hard to do. And it is true. Now, Peter, it's fascinating to study the life of Peter and how he wrote this. He was the one that was the mouthpiece of all the apostles, remember? He was the one that spoke up. He said, "All fellas, I'll speak up. Don't worry. I'll do it. Lord, although all of these fools were going to forsake you, not me. He was the first one to forsake the Lord, right? He was one that couldn't control his mouth. He was the one that let his tongue get loose. He said all kinds of things he shouldn't have said and done. He says, now as an older man, as he writes 1 Peter, let me tell you how you're going to see life, love life, see good days. Okay, letter A under this, though. If we are to have the delightful tongue, notice nature is consistent, has many delights. Well, he gives examples. Fountains give forth only one kind of water. What's he saying? Be consistent. People ought to know that consistency in your tongue, in your mouth. Fig trees bear figs, not olives. The vine bears grapes, not figs. Very consistent. He gives the wonderful truth in that. Letter B, though, the tongue is inconsistent. Well, he says what? My brethren, these things ought not so to be. On one hand, it can bless God, and at the same time, turn around and curse man. You just kick yourself? Oh, you get so mad. Well, how could I say that? Why did I say that? Why did I go there? Why did I see that? All the things that you think about. We are inconsistent people right at the core, aren't we? Just inconsistent. Our dear children, you would love them to just clean their room up without even asking. They would be consistent in that. Amen? Amen. You say, okay, Dad, you first, right? You clean up your mess. Be consistent in our lives, right? Letter C, then, the tongue can be a delight. It can be a delight if yielded to Christ. And again, you dear folks are great examples of that. You really are. And you are encouraging. You're faithful. You're positive. Those things. And I'm so thankful that you are. I was talking to a dear friend who pastors a church. But just some of the things, you know, he's got some people in his church that are just downright mean. They try to search him out after a service to criticize something, you know. Well, what are we doing about this? What are we doing here? I thought about you dear folks, and I thought, thank you, Lord Jesus. I know it's not always going to be this way, but from time to time, the gospel light attracts a lot of strange bugs. But hey, I'm so glad and grateful for you folks, especially because you're positive, you're encouraging, you're trying to help other people, and I hear your conversations on Sundays, how you try to go out of your way to help others. So if we're yielded to Christ, the tongue can be a great tool for others. Proverbs 15:4, just a few verses here and we'll wrap it up. But a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. What's a tree of life? Well, it bears fruit. A tree of life gives life to other people, gives life to those around it. They expect fruit to be produced. And I love Psalm 1. And Psalm 1 talks about that. Boy, if he's faithful, stays true, what? He will be like a tree planted by the rivers. Okay. Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. Talking about that Proverbs 31 woman. Now listen to the Lord's warning. For he says in Matthew 12:36, he says, I say unto you, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy word thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And very clearly, idle word, a lot of stuff that just doesn't mean a hill of beans, right? Doesn't matter. You just say stuff. If you're like me, just saying things out there in the wind, we'll give account for that. I don't know the exact details of the type of account we're going to give. I don't know if the Lord's going to, every little tiny thing we're going to go through. But it may be. We know some of what's going to take place at that judgment seat. But we got to keep that in view, in view of that great day of judgment. Am I preparing for that? Now, what is your speech like? What is your tongue used for? David prayed it this way, and I love these verses. But he says, Psalm 19:14, a great verse to memorize. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Now, he goes even deeper. The words of my mouth, okay, I understand that. I shouldn't have said that. But what's he go? He goes deeper. The meditation of my heart. What is that? That's what's happening before it comes out of the mouth. The meditations. What am I thinking about? Who am I thinking about? Okay, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. So he says, I want you to be it to be acceptable to you. And that's a very, very hard thing to think about, but Lord, is this acceptable to you? Is what I'm about to say acceptable? Well, you're my strength. You're my redeemer. You'll give me the strength and all of that. Psalm 139, and we'll close it out here. 139, verse 23. He says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts." And then he says, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and then what? Lead me in the way everlasting." I don't like to pray that one. You know, search me, Lord. Go through and search, Lord. Let me know what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. Tell me what's off. So, are we where we should be with our tongue, our mouth? It has power to destroy. It has power to delight. It has power to direct. I hope that you are using it to direct people to Christ, directing others towards the things of God. And again, if you're like me, have maybe incidents in your life where people say, "Well, I've heard you talk. I've heard what you've had to say. I wouldn't be interested." And we got to be careful about that. The power to lift each other up, the power to encourage each other, the power at a very young age, even our children, very young, teenagers, very young, to say, "I'm going to use that for good. I'm going to encourage others. I'm going to build each other up. I'm going to do that which is, as David said, acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer." Is it acceptable to you, Lord? And that's our goal as being a Christian with these characteristics. It's all about what? Lord, are you happy with me? Are you pleased in that? Yeah, but you don't know what they said to me. Well, Lord, which pleases you? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And he's given us a wonderful book to follow suit. So, power over the tongue. I hope you study these verses for yourself, and especially if you haven't read the book of James in a while, read it again. It won't take you very long at all. You could read through it very quickly, small book of the Bible. I read just a while back the book of Jude. Jude is just a very small book, but boy, it packs a punch, doesn't it? And I think about all of that. Thank God that we have this. But we should have characteristics that are becoming of a child of God. And you know that, by the way. Thank you. I'm preaching to the choir. All of you are so faithful. I do appreciate you. All right? All right. Well, Lord willing, we will gather back on Sunday morning. And so keep these in your prayer, if you will, that we talked about this evening. If you have maybe their phone number, you can text them or encourage them if you feel the need to do that. All right. Lord, thank you for this evening. Once again, for these dear folks that have, Lord, made it a point tonight to be here and be in their place. I thank you for these. These are messages that, Lord, are difficult, that would really convict all of us, and how much strength we need, how much direction we need in this area. Help us to do our part, Lord. Strengthen us to do it. And, Lord, we love and thank you and pray you bless those tonight that couldn't be with us. Those on our list tonight, we continue to lift them up. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.